I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So I did just offer you a chocolate hobnob and you said no, and that we'd talk about it on the podcast.
Yes.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, shall we do the intro first?
This was meant to be the intro, Mark.
The cold open?
Yeah.
I feel like it might be a bit long for a cold open.
Well, you're not making it any shorter.
Well, basically, new me, Danny.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, was that going to go into it then? Yeah, perfect. Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only Mr. Danny Ward.
Hello, friends.
And it is a Tour Talk episode, which means it's not a guest episode, but we have got some guest episodes coming up very shortly, which is very exciting. And we are back. We've been away for a little while, haven't we, Danny? How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, champ. All right. We have to keep the people informed, Mark. The people.
The people, yes.
So the last time we were sitting on this couch was it would have been the 28th of August, wouldn't it? Which was the day after my birthday, which was 2 days after we got back from Edinburgh. And wow. That was actually the last podcast we did. So apologies for the delays in getting the content out.
And that does seem like a long time ago, doesn't it?
I mean, metaphorically and literally quite a long time.
Yeah.
Because basically, obviously, well, what happened, the reason why we've had a break is my mum passed away after a year's illness.
Yeah.
And so it was, this year has been a bit of a shit year, really, isn't it?
Yeah. What I mean, just
with dear Gareth and my mum. And you know, obviously it's really rubbish when anyone dies, who you're close to. But, you know, very grateful for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And grateful to the NHS and all the carers. Grateful to my dad for showing me what devotion looks like.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my mum I always knew she was kind, Mark. I just didn't realise how brave she was. And I do now.
Yeah.
And all the neighbours as well, who, you know, all rallied around over the last year. So, you know, there's a lot of blessings and a lot of wisdom to be gained as well.
Yeah.
So it's... We were not into the traditional kind of things in our family. So we had this, she loved Strictly Come Dancing. So we had this really amazing celebration last week called Strictly Come Celebrate Jill.
Oh.
And we decorated a room in the Plymouth Guildhall as a ballroom.
Yeah.
A ballroom. And it was a proper celebration with people talking about her. Then we had a like, really good buffet and even a disco. So that was a really, really great, modern, different way of doing things.
Yeah.
None of this having a hearse,
yeah.
You know, none of this being in a cold crematorium, none of this looking up the road and seeing the next lot looking to come in.
Mm. Yeah.
All done at our own pace, in our own way, really, really personalised. And I hosted it.
Yeah. and you have referred to it many times to me as a show.
But you know, I've always, and this is, you know, quite a good talking point for public speaking, is that...
You've mentioned this thing about the breathing thing in the past on the podcast.
When I'm speaking at funerals, I get this inability to quite catch my breath.
Yeah.
And as I'm talking, it's really unnatural. And I don't think it's as obvious to the audience as it is to me.
It's a bit like a nervous thing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, your nerves are shot.
Mm.
And you know, you've just, something's gone, it's a really strange physiological response to feeling nervous.
Yep.
You know, and I guess some people get it when they're doing stand-up. I'm lucky, thank fuck, I've never been afflicted with it doing stand-up comedy, I don't think. But when I'm trying to talk, and it's like that, and it's all very well hosting your mum's celebration of life, but you have to be able to host it.
I mean, I'm in awe of you being able to do that, because I just literally wouldn't be able to do that, I don't think. Like,
so my worry was, like, what happens if I get that breathing thing, and then, you know, the game's up.
Yeah.
So it's all very well said I'm going to do it, but you have to be able to do it.
Mm.
But, you know, a couple of people gave me some pep talks, and but I had my friends there.
Yeah.
And they were going to sit at the back, and I said, no, you're not.
Mm.
You sit at the front table. And seeing my friends there, Mark, at this thing, doing that, it didn't feel like a funeral. It felt like a gig.
Yeah.
And I thought, with your friends next to you, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do absolutely anything. And I looked at them, and I got such strength from that, that, like I said, an awful lot of blessings. And and it went really, really well. And I didn't get that breathing thing. If anything, I did film it. And I've looked back. If anything, I look too relaxed. I'm leaning on the, there's like a little, you know, what do you call it? A little...
like David Brent.
Plinth. Not a plinth. What's it called? One of them things. A lectern.
Yeah.
Which we'd covered in tinsel and all that. And I was sort of leaning forward on it like a little bit too nonchalant.
But you know what? It's probably at that thing of talking yourself into being able to get through it is you, because like, is that kind of thing, getting your brain straight of like, oh, I need to be totally relaxed. Yeah. I need to get through it. I need to be relaxed. And then you just committed to it.
Yeah. It was I know, really, you know, really quite something.
Mm.
So like that's, you know, that's done now. And I've absorbed my mum into my heart, and she's there forever, pain free. So it's all time to, you know, it's all systems go now.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, is the term delivered my first TikTok yesterday. so you know, a call out to everyone to make sure they follow me on the socials now, because I'm, you know, I've got a new not lease of life, that's not quite the term I mean, but it's a new focus now.
Yeah.
You know that last year was the year it was.
Mm-hmm.
And my mum said something really, really cute. She whispered to me in some of her final days. She went, "I've got a secret connection with Gareth." I went, "Oh yeah, what's that, mum?" She went to BMG, you know,
Be More Gareth.
I went, because she's called Jill with a G. I went, "Be More Jill," and she went, "Yeah." And
then my goodness!
She just went shut her eyes for a little snooze.
Oh.
And the other thing, of course, is that she got to see me and you and Gareth win the Victoria Wood Award.
Yeah.
And we went to see Victoria Wood in the 90s a couple of times in Plymouth. And she even asked me to read out the speech that we read at the award ceremony to her.
Yeah.
I didn't do your voice. But there was a bit where we talked about how Gareth's sons were in safe hands.
Yeah, yeah.
With Laura, his wife.
Mm.
And that's when she went, oh, lovely. And that was a tough gig.
Oh, but
you know,
so nice.
It was a really, the fact she saw that, because, you know, as we said, that wasn't an award for being the best comedians, but it was certainly an award for being some of the kindest. And that's what my mum always prioritised in life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think she would have been, I could have won the Edinburgh Thatch Award, and it wouldn't have meant as much to her as that one that we got for Gareth.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's why where we've been.
Yes,
Now
I think that's a good excuse.
Yeah, that's all right. What more do you want?
Chill out, everyone.
But, you know, we love the podcast, and we're going to be cracking on the...
Yes, we've recorded some episodes.
When the next one goes up in January 24, when Mark's in Australia.
So this is a catch-up one. This is, we're back on the tour. We're back for the... You missed a few tour dates.
Yep.
Joey Page and Matt Bragg.
Who else? It was you had a couple of
Michael Akadiri stepped in.
God, that feels like bloody ages ago.
Well, it does. Yeah, because he was the first guy to step in.
Yeah,
For Bishop Stortford. So thanks to those guys. Each one of them did brilliant job.
Brilliant-ish job, Mark. Come on, mate. I'm still grieving.
So you're back. So we did a run up north.
It's a lovely run up north, didn't we?
Really nice.
I
like the Yorkshire gigs. I'm gonna say it now. I'm gonna put it out there, Danny.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
They're nice people. They are. And they're lively. They're lively, but nice.
Yeah, so we went to Darlington, and then we went to Harrogate, yeah. And then we went to Pocklington.
We did.
It's a fun thing to say, isn't it? But oh, about, Darlington's yeah. one of those ones, Mark, where you drove because you had something before it the night before.
Oh, I had a corporate
gig. And I had a train. I got the train.
Yeah.
2 hours and 30 minutes to Darlington from London on the train.
Beautiful.
It must be damn near five to drive.
Yeah, yeah. Took eight. Well, I didn't go directly there. I went Birmingham the night before. Actually, bring it... But as you brought up Birmingham, I was thinking we could talk about corporate gigs. So I don't think we've ever really talked about that concept on the podcast, really. Yeah. And I had an absolutely mad experience at a corporate probably about a month ago.
Have we not mentioned this yet?
No, oh, we haven't spoken about it. We haven't done a podcast, Danny.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
So I went to this corporate. I won't say what the company name is because I'm not sure what the rules are about this. But it was like, it was a big gig, it was a big deal company. And I got there, I always get there early. You know, I'm a goddamn professional. Got to the hotel, had my nap, and then sound check was at 6, on stage, 10:30, which we'll come to that in a minute about, you know, that's quite a late start for a gig. And when I got down there for the sound check, I went up to the woman on the door and she said, sorry, it's cancelled. I was like, what? Cancelled? But she wouldn't give me any information. It was really mysterious. And then eventually the booker, the guy who in charge of the gig, the corporate gig, he came up to me and then he told me that it's been cancelled due to 3 separate security threats. And turns out that there was a planned armed robbery for the evening, like when I would have been on stage. And it was a bit like Die Hard or Under Siege, where they were trying to infiltrate early on in the day to get in the building. And then all of a sudden they would have gone bang, well, maybe literally bang, and just overrun the whole place and robbed everyone. Isn't that mad?
Well, yeah, it's
and that clip would have gone viral.
What, you getting a bullet through the fucking brain?
Oh, I mean, that would have been a... I mean, that would top this year off just right then, wouldn't it?
Well, I can't lose you as well. It feels almost a tall story, but...
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? That I could have been like... I want to say Mike McLean, but it's not Mike McLean because he's a comedian. Yeah.
Is it Mike McLean?
Is it Mike
I don't
McLean?
Know, it's Mike.
Brian.
No, it's not McLean. Boston, not Brian.
Brian McLean.
Hang on. Alexa, what's the name of Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard?
Bruce Willis plays John McClane.
But I thought that'd be quite a good premise for a film. A comedian at a corporate gets taken over and then he has to sort of, you know.
Write it.
Get it down.
What would you call it?
What would I call it?
Laugh Hard?
Yeah, but then the trouble that is, it would be a spoof of... I don't want it to be a spoof. I want it to be a film on its own. You
right.
know what I mean?
Okay.
But yeah, we'll work on that, shall we? Hard. Laugh harder. Have you had any bad corporate gigs? Because corporate gigs are an interesting thing because they are a different... Going from doing a tour show to corporate gigs is quite interesting because you're going from people who are there to see you specifically, they like what you do, to a gig where there'll be a percentage of people that are really into comedy. There was a percentage of people that knew who I was. There's a percentage of people that hate comedy. There's a percentage of people that just want to get drunk or are already too drunk. There's a percentage of people that just want to talk to the person next to them. So there's so many things you're dealing with and it's a different kettle of fish. It's like back in the old days, like a jongler's gig where you're just, you know, you're trying to make it work. You're using all your gears to try and...
Yeah, yeah. Well, it couldn't be less investment really because no one's paid for it.
Mm.
The drinks, they're not paying for the drinks either.
And comedians tend to be on right at the end.
Right at the end after the raffle.
After a raffle and an auction.
It's a curious... I don't know why anyone really bothers with
it. Let's not talk ourselves out of work.
No, that's true. But I mean, in the old days... These things used to be the highest, you know, absolute highest paying gigs you could get.
Mm.
And, you know, danger money, all those things.
Literally, when you've got an armed robbery.
Well, yeah, exactly. I've not really done any proper high-end corporates. but I've done a few, you know, bits and pieces of the like. The one that sticks in my mind most, and what I found about this, they're really lonely.
Right.
They're really, really lonely.
Because you haven't got a green room of comics.
Yeah. Or like tour support, or, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Because even if you're on tour, it's usually not like a whole room of comics like it is.
Yeah.
On the
clubs. I often wonder when people do tours just on their own and don't have a support.
I was talking with Mike Gunn about this last night.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Because he supports Lee Mack.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking, like, if you're on your own, if you could imagine you just going around doing this with, you know, on your own, it would be totally different, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to sort of enjoy the good times. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to, you know, be consoled when it went really badly. It hasn't gone badly. But I found it really lonely. And I remember I was sitting in the car watching MasterChef because I didn't want to, there was no like green room or anything for me to be.
Right.
And I had my gear set up. That was the big mistake I made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I offered to take a PA system.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So what that meant was, is that there's no quick getaway at the end, is there?
That's correct. And also there's a chance that the people in the corporate see you setting up the gear.
There's that
instantly
too.
Instantly taking away the showbiz.
I don't think there would have been a showbiz aura with or without me setting up the gear. it was bad. And, you know, this is the other thing, is they're never asking you to do a tight seven, are they? It's always like 30 minutes or something unachievable.
Yeah.
So I did it and it didn't go well.
Mm.
And but then, of course, I had to pack up all the stuff as they started the disco.
Wait for the lights to cool down.
So the disco's going on, and because there was a fucking another PA system there that I could have used, turns out, because they had a disco system, it was another PA. So they're all dancing as I'm packing all the stuff into the car, and as I come back for the last piece, my microphone stand, they were like gyrating around it, and I thought, Christ, they're having more fun with the microphone stand when I'm not behind it than all they needed was a bloody stripper's pole.
Brilliant. Yeah. This one I did the other day. It went well. It was good. It was, you know, sometimes they don't go well, these sort of things, but this went well. But afterwards, I had this weird interaction with one of the audience members. So I was chatting to, there's a nice compere. He's not a comedian, but he does a lot of these corporate events and he hosts conferences. A guy called David Kirk, really nice bloke. I was having a chat with him. And then this guy came over who was working for one of the companies, and he was like a sort of steroids. So he was sort of really massive, but like I used to work in the fitness industry. I could tell straight away the telltale signs. One, just the way his muscles popped out of his shoulders.
Yeah.
And two, his personality was horrendous.
Did you look at any acne on his back?
I didn't take his shirt off.
Right.
And then, so he came over to us. He was being really weird. And then he was saying, my mate wants a photo. Come and have a photo with my mate. And in my head, I was like, this doesn't seem, he doesn't. Because one, if his mate wanted a photo, his mate would come over. Yeah. That's the first thing. I could tell I could just tell he's being a bit of an ass. But I thought, I'll roll with it and see what happens. So I walked over with him. And then, as I suspected, he goes, Steve, You want a photo with this guy, don't you? And this Steve clearly didn't want a photo with me. This guy was just, I don't know what the outcome, what he was trying to do. It was some sort of weird. And just as he was doing that, he was sort of laughing to himself because he'd stitched me up. I don't know. Another guy from the audience who was a fan of mine came over and asked for a photo and had one. So he pissed on his chips.
Yeah, there you go.
Which was really,
some of that, mate.
Yeah, it was really good timing. But when he was sort of taking over, I was like, so you're on steroids, you lot? Because his other mate I saw was massive like that as well.
So you asked them?
Yeah, I said to him. And he went, no. And then he went, do you want some? Like that.
Were they on the approver and marching powder as well, do you reckon?
Must be. Must have been.
Because that's another nothing. When you do Christmas parties, I remember.
Right,
you know, when if everyone's on the old
he must be, because
on the bugle you're fucked as well, because the attention span's gone, isn't it? And all they want to do is talk about themselves. Imagine that, just wanted to talk about yourself.
If you think about bastards. Someone who's on steroids, obsessed with like themselves in that sense, and then also on the gear.
So these steroids, I mean, obviously we know back in the day the wrestlers were on them a lot, and are they just show muscles? Is it just water retention, or does it make you strong as well? Because the world's like strongest men, they're not that shape, are they? They're more far more sort of
well, the world's strongest
less
men
defined, if
can't,
you like.
Can't take them anyway,
right.
Because it goes against the protocol. Yeah. But yeah, it, I mean, it does. It you will be stronger, but it's not water retention. It is the muscle is developing.
So why are they banned?
But it's just unfair, isn't it? Because there's no because you just pump more into you, and also it's a health. There's definitely health things as well.
See, I've got a theory about they should have a clean Olympics, right? And then they should have a anything goes Olympics.
Yeah.
And then we'll separate the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think 9 seconds is fast, do you, mate? Like that, yeah. I'd be up for seeing that.
I think people would have heart attacks.
Pump them. Oh, yeah. Well, just pump them full. Pump them full, see what happens.
I think there are bodybuilding. There's clean bodybuilding. And there's also, I think there is on, because I think now these days, because back in the old days when they, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, because Arnold Schwarzenegger, they were all on steroids.
Yeah, and he's still kicking. He must be, what, 70?
But he did, has had like triple heart bypass stuff, I think, and all that sort of business. But I think you can, if you actually do it with doctors, and you could do it safely, I would have thought, yeah. Or safer, but I don't know. It's just not something I think's worth it.
Yeah, no, me, I just do it. I do it the old-fashioned way.
But that's why I didn't have a biscuit earlier, Danny.
Oh, that's the other thing I was. Yeah, the new you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I just decided. Because I used to be an athlete, Danny.
Yeah.
This podcast is like an Edinburgh show. This is linking together so well. I used to
don't know how many Edinburgh shows you've seen that link together so well, champ.
I used to be a bit of an. I used to be an athlete. You know, I used to compete quite high in taekwondo and basketball.
Yeah.
And I do go to the gym and, you know, keep
went this morning at 9 a.m.
I did. Well, that's it. I got up and I went.
I heard him clattering around next door.
I need more. Because the trouble is, when I used to compete, I'm someone who likes goals. Goals are really important for me. So when I used to train, if I had a competition, that was my goal. If it was in basketball, it would be the season, the games. They're all the goals. If it's taekwondo, when I stopped competing, I then had a grading. So I had to get super fit for that. So it's a goal. With comedy, I love it because there's always goals. No matter what you achieve, there's always something else you can achieve. So I think that's just, I'm quite driven in that way. And with fitness and stuff, I just hadn't got any goals really. So I need to, I haven't got a new goal, but my new goal, what's the new
goal? Chocolate hobnob goal.
No chocolate hobnob goal.
So far, 100%.
Yeah. So I'm motivated again.
Right.
So I'm gonna get myself into proper shape.
Now, I was talking to someone last night about biscuits, and he said he was the kind of guy that if you open up a packet of biscuits, he'll eat the whole packet of biscuits.
Yeah, I'm that sort of guy.
You are that
as well.
I mean, I know that with pick and mix, obviously, but actually quite a lot of different snacks. But so you are like that, yeah.
So in the car, if there's a snack open, yeah, I'll eat it all. Because I've got this thing where I just want to enjoy, do things that are nice.
Right.
So if it's there, I'll have it.
We don't have to worry about pick and mix anymore, do we? Because that's
bloody Wilco's.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that. Same week as my mum.
I didn't want to bring you down, mate.
It's fucking hell. Never pisses when it pours, does it? But I'm the kind of guy who can open up biscuits, have a biscuit, right?
I know.
And then just that'll just sit there now in its tin.
You're the sort of guy that won't even open them. You're just happy that they're there.
Yeah, that's I've always often said, famously.
We are opposites in that sense. That's why you get so annoyed at me, like I've eaten all the pick and mix, because you just want to sit and leave it there.
Not. I just think you should have half, you know, a cup each.
Yeah.
It's all academic now anyway.
So we spoke about the corporates, and you said earlier, before we went on to that, you said about doing the gigs up north here in Harrogate. And I thought we could talk about your little, you created a joke just Harrogate.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Didn't you? You did your support slot in Harrogate, and yeah. Before you went on, you said to me, "Got this joke idea."
Well, it was staring me right in the face,
literally,
because yeah. I had a bottle of water,
yeah,
and it is
from Harrogate,
yeah,
Harrogate water,
Harrogate mineral water,
yeah,
yeah, and quite a distinctive bottle, yeah. And I've just thought of a story about bottled water. Remind me to tell you after,
yeah.
I said, I'll drink some water on stage.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, this water tastes rough. Where's it from?
Yeah.
And look at the bottle, right?
Nice. And I said to you at the time, which you'd already decided, yeah. Was, I said, don't open
it. No.
let them like you first.
Yeah, this is good chat, isn't it? Is it?
Good joke chat.
If you're ever going to do something like that, off-piste, and we've all fallen for it, yeah. And tried to say something
you've
new for the
for
first
it.
Time.
Or, oh, in the competition final.
Yeah.
Or semi-final.
Semi-final. No, final.
Final.
So you think you're funny. No, Muse Moose.
Oh, yeah.
It's always good, I think, to have a line that you can, you know works, get your laugh, and then start playing about.
Yeah.
But if you go on saying something you've never said out loud before, and it tanks, well, then you've got a massive uphill battle.
Especially if the joke is a slagging off something.
Yeah. But
they're probably quite proud of.
So I did it after a new piece.
Yeah, but not brand new. You knew it was a really big laugh.
Yeah,
line.
Really big laugh. And that's when I dropped it in.
Yeah.
And it worked, but yeah. I didn't wait for the laugh from the previous joke to die down enough so that not everyone got it.
Because the previous joke is a big hitter.
Yeah.
So they're still thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then also the joke about the water is it's not, you don't slap them in the face with it.
No,
they do actually have to do a bit of work and realise it's the Harrogate water that you're talking about. So it worked, but I believe it would have worked even better had that laugh just settled down a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when people would have heard it.
Yeah.
Because that's, again, another interesting lesson in just taking your time.
Yeah, but it's also in the timing of you taking that swig of water. Because if you take a swig of water while that laugh's happening, you sort of don't know when it's going to die down and you want to say it as you finish the swig, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Because I do drink a bit of water normally in that bit.
Yeah.
To wait until I hit them with the... Well, anyway, I tell you what, I've got it, I filmed it. I'll clip that one up. Yep. Oh, that'll be the second TikTok I deliver.
There you go, check that out. Danny Ward comedy, is it?
Danny Ward comedy, mate, now, yeah.
And what was your story about bottled water?
When I was at university, I got a bottle of water and I noticed that it was green. There was some algae growing on the inside of the bottle.
What?
Yeah, Tom Cobley water it was called. And it was flavoured peach, so I think there's some additives in it that might, go off perhaps, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I posted it back, the bottle, with the green algae in it, expecting to, have at least two or three cases of water delivered.
Yeah.
And never heard from them again.
Well, do you know what, though? I've never heard of that company since.
Maybe, yeah. Hopefully they've gone out of business, sons of bitches.
Well, that's, yeah.
It's what you get. It's like the veg oddest custard tart story, isn't it? You don't play with Daniel J.
And the coffee on the top of the cup.
The coffee on the top of the cup. We have a good laugh.
Like, I don't know if we can do this, because when we talk about bottled water, I always think of John Mann's joke, but I don't know if we can just tell someone else's joke.
Yeah, of course we can.
Don't
mind me, he'll love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's got a great joke about bottled water, and I love it, because it's one of those things that it's the same as that. He would take a swig of water, and then it feels so natural, because he then does a bit about the water. So, John Mann, brilliant comic. Yeah. Old school, but
I'm
not
doing
like
a gig for him soon.
But not like old school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for charity.
Good solid jokes, John Mann.
Anti-charity.
Oh, I'm doing it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I might be. So
you've got some new headshots made, aren't you? That's just a question mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
question mark.
There you go. That could be the name of my book tour. Where do you Q&A? Question mark.
I thought you had a name for your mark, for your talk, for your book.
Well, yeah, but my book's going to be called Mark My Words.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what was the other thing?
Making a mark.
And just skid mark. I don't know what that project is. So John Mann's got a brilliant joke where he reads off the bottle And it's, I don't know where, what, I won't do it justice.
No.
But the idea is this water has been filtered through the Alps for 2,000 years and blah, 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 and to make this bottle of water. And he does all this massive long spiel about it. And then it goes, best before next Thursday. or he will say the date. But it's such a good joke.
Yeah, good really bit of fun funny.
But also, it's like, real. It's true though, isn't it? Why is that water going off? Having,
I think what we're finding more, well, it doesn't. I think is the answer. It's just it's a means of ensuring consumption by a certain point, which will therefore drive more demand for the product.
You think so?
Well, they're doing a lot of that now. Well, they're getting rid of best before dates on stuff, like in supermarkets, because some people are very funny about it, you know. And a perfectly good tomato says best before the 19th, we'll chuck it out. That's the fucking thing. How long do potatoes sit in a potato shed before they get eaten? Do you know what I mean? And then they get given an arbitrary best before date. You can tell when potatoes have had it. My friends at university had
the chips are down.
Had a bag of potatoes, right?
Yeah.
In a cupboard. And do you know what happens with potatoes?
They up sprouting.
Yeah, but they get the eyes, they're called. But these weren't eyes, Mark. It looked like a glacial cathedral. These things had grown upwards out of this bag of potatoes, a good foot and a half, trying to reach the light.
Right.
And it looked like some sort of, mystical kingdom.
Yeah.
So those potatoes probably weren't edible. But if you buy a potato, basset, russet, roost, and it says,
King Edward,
best before 28th of November, and you're eating on the 30th, and I'm not having that because it's 2 days out of date. That's,
it's nonsense.
Yeah, we've got to do away with all that now.
You've got a dinner date. So we've got about 5 minutes.
It's the first, it's my first roast of the season.
Oh, that's lovely. You love a roast. So we've got a choice of things to cover.
Right.
We can either cover a couple of jokes I found, old jokes from 2012 on my Facebook memories, or we could talk about jokes in everyday life, so which would relate to a restaurant visit we had recently.
Let's do the restaurant visit then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so I quite like it when... So quite often you get jokes in everyday life that you can just crack jokes when the same thing happens over and over again. So like, for example, these days people are always in restaurants asking, have you got any allergies? That seems to be the new fad. Every restaurant says, have you got any allergies? And then we, a while ago, just were trying to think of funny answers to that. So I always go for hay fever.
Yeah.
And you go
I say penicillin.
You say penicillin.
Because it is real.
And it's a, have you, is that really real?
Yeah.
Oh.
The listeners should know that, just in case.
Yeah, that's true. And so we always sort of compete to see who can say that one first. Anyway, I went for a meal. So I didn't realize loads of people do this. So I went for a meal with my dad, and the woman came over and she said, and my dad and I had never discussed this before as a thing. And the woman said, have you got any allergies? And my dad and I both answered at the same time. My dad said, paying the bill.
Yeah.
And I said, hay fever. But she didn't hear my dad. She just heard me say hay fever. And then she went, oh, hay fever. She sort of chuckled. She went, most people say paying the bill. Which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's funny, isn't it? As a everyone's.
Yeah, but you know what? They've tightened up on our fun now because they've added the word food before, haven't they?
Oh,
often
they?
Now, yeah, they go, any food allergies?
Oh.
And that way they pulled the rug from under us.
Oh, I noticed that. But they must get fed up with it.
We would have thought.
Because it's that thing of, sort of when people say, like, people can come up with the same joke in comedy. But it's one of those things, if the world's exposed to something, of course people naturally are all going to come to that. Or, because that is quite an obvious thing, isn't it, as a joke?
It's still quite funny, but...
but I wonder if they appreciate the creativity of not going down the... She seemed to enjoy the hay fever because she's so used to people saying the bill.
I'd never heard the bill before.
No, but then, yeah.
I'd never heard the bill before.
Isn't it funny that my dad said it?
It's quite funny your dad said it.
And I doubt he'd ever said that before because...
just fed the bill. Yeah, it's there's another saying like that. My mate's dad says it. If someone's tight, they say, hang on, let me get this right. First out of the cab, last to the bar.
That's good. That's really funny. First out of the cab, last to the bar. So we're getting back out on the tour in the next week or so. We are coming to Folkestone on the 19th of October to the Tower Theatre, Leicester, 22nd of October, the Y Theatre, Peterborough, 25th of October, the Key Theatre, and Lincoln, 26th of October, at The Drill. And there are plenty more shows after
for
that.
Where?
The Drill, it's called.
The Drill?
I guess like the Drill Hall, I'm thinking, but it's called The Drill on the website. Check it out. Jokes with Mark Simmons on social media. Link is in my bio. And Mark Simmons, hang on, Danny.
Sorry.
And Mark Simmons, just trying to get this out. I can't get it out. At marksimmons.co.uk. We're coming to lots of places. We're adding lots more dates. We're doing another year of the tour, which is amazing. Thank you so much to everyone who's been coming out and supporting. And we'd love to see you at a future show.
What was that venue called?
The Drill.
Oh, that's a whole different place. It's a whole different place.
You're screwed up.
drills, let me think. Allen keys.
Oh, you nailed it.
No, stop it, Mark. That was...
You hammered?
What? Allen keys. Bits. I'm in bits.
Anything more from you, Danny?
I'm in bits, Mark.
Are you in bits? Is that anything other than being in bits anymore from you?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Awooga, everybody. And remember,
be more Gareth.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.